Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Thursday morning, so we are talking about knowing God, developing an intimate supernatural relationship. Most of us, I dare say all of us, want to know God better than we do right now. That's His drawing. That's Him expressing His desire to see things His way, to experience His love for us. Any desire, any thought you have about, boy, it'd be nice to know Him or be able to hear from Him or know how I'm doing, or even it'd be nice to be doing what He did when He was here on this earth, healing and freeing people and ministering to people. Any of those desires comes from God. Now, a lot of times we have our own fleshly desires and our supernatural desires. And as we go through the process, we'll distinguish those. But those are only echoes or a repeat of the desire that we all have to know God, to know Him better than we do right now. And regardless of how well you know Him right now, you can know Him more. You can know Him in new ways. You can know Him. He is eternally creative. If you experience everything that He has to offer right now, and receive everything that He wants to give you right now, He will come up with new experiences just for you. There is no limit to new things God has for us. And since these are things that He has for us, that He wants for us to experience, we can be confident that He is not only the way, but He's making a way for us. That as we depend on Him, He teaches us what we need to know. He is our assurance and guarantee of success at knowing Him. And we've talked many times about what is the goal of all this. And if you're working towards an end and you're unclear of what that end is, you'll be easily distracted. We are all easily distracted by the lesser benefits of knowing God. So many of us have been taught that the goal is to get into heaven. And what we're here on this earth to do is get our friends and relatives and unloved saved ones into heaven too. Or we're here to get jewels in our crown or to expand the kingdom so we will have more authority in heaven. Now, none of those are God's perspective. Those are our perspective. Those are things that we have come up with to try to motivate us and to try to motivate others. But when we really look at it, our purpose here has been established by God very clearly. And that's what he gave us 2,000 years ago, eternal life. Eternal life doesn't wait till we die. You received eternal life the moment you became a spirit being. You were reborn as a new creature, a new creation, something that's never existed before. This is why it's when we try to mix the old and the new, Jesus was very clear in his illustrations, you can't put new wine into old wineskins. We have a new life. We are a new creation and a new creature. And we have to know God. These are his requisites, his requirements. If we want to know him as he is right now, we can't be trying to bring into our conversation things from the past, the way God used to do things, the way we used to do things. So when we want to look at how do we know him, it's a combination. And again, the purpose of the definition of eternal life is to know God. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about knowing him in our soul and in our body, in our spirit, in your spirit. You already know him as much as you're ever going to know him. You're experiencing him fully now, but not in your soul and your body. Now, here's what happens is in an area of your life, if you've been one to have a well-established, this is what I believe, and this is how it works, and this is what I'm going to follow, and you're using everything to, you're judging everything you hear and read against those standards, what happens is at some point in time, God's going to break through that. He's going to show how that doesn't work, or he's not going to let you be at all satisfied in that area. In some way, shape, or form, he's going to break through that. Not somebody else, not me trying to convince you or somebody else trying to convince you, but God himself is going to break through that. And then when he does that, that's when the dominoes start to fall. And that's when we have the choice. Do we want to continue into freedom and responsibility and liberty and authority? Or do we like being slave to the law, to what we believe? Sometimes it's so much safer and easier to live as a prisoner than to take responsibility and authority as a son of God. Greater things shall you do. You, me, everyone, each one of us, and we are so far from that. And yet so many people are so concerned about it being the end times. Yet we hardly know God at all compared to previous generations. And even in, not even the generations, but doctrinally speaking, there's a reason there are so many more miracles done in other countries than here in the U.S. and here in Western civilization. It's because we have a formula. And we are relying on that formula. We are relying on our churchology rather than on knowing God. And then when a stress or a crisis situation comes up, we want to do the same old thing more. We're not going to church enough. We're not reading our Bible enough. We're not worshiping enough. We're not fasting enough. We're not calling to prayer enough. You know, pick one. We need another revival, you know, 24/7. Rather than going, okay, well, maybe it's not the amount that's the problem, but the content, but the substance. Maybe we're doing the wrong thing to begin with. How do we find out? We ask God. And that's always a good indicator that something needs to change. If, when I say, ask God if you need to change, if there's anything else that you need to do, and you don't know what I'm talking about. When you say, how do I do that? How do I know God? How do I hear him? So many people that have been even involved in ministry don't think that's possible. Don't know how to hear his voice, how to receive his provision for our soul, for our mind, will, and emotions, and our body. And yet, they're teaching others. They're being a role model, an example, because they've been to seminary or they've been ordained. Or for whatever reason. You know, which is exactly what Jesus came to turn over. Says, no, he has earned the right to be your counselor, to be your teacher. And we learn how to hear him, how to know him, how to test what we hear, not against a book, not against a doctrine or a feeling, oh, it just feels like God or it sounds like him. But to test what we hear against having heard him before. This is where it's so important to be cultivating that quietness, that quiet time. Because it is in that time, during that time, that he sharpens our hearing, that he tunes our senses to be able to hear him. And sometimes it's in the subtlest ways that he encourages us that we are hearing him. When we make an appointment and something else comes up that we go, okay, I'm going to have to move that appointment, and we go to do it, and it's like, well, no, wait a minute, let's just wait before you move that, before you make that change. And then the other thing gets changed, and you don't have to move that appointment. Okay? The moving the appointment's not the big deal. It's that you just knew, okay, let's just wait on that. Let's not do that yet. Little things like that. And as we pay attention to those little things, what God is teaching us is confidence. He is growing confidence in us. So that it's not about wasting our time or being right or developing skills. It's about knowing that God is involved in every little aspect of our lives. You know, so many people look to the big experiences you know, an angelic visitation, or a, you know, where you're taken to the third heaven. We'll get into some of these things that they're fine to want, but the point is that they are things that we are to be participating in and having authority over, even. But they are not substituting for not knowing God. We think someone that has a skill in an area knows God better. Sometimes, maybe, but a lot of times not. A lot of times it's they have responded to God in that area. And we want to learn from them and acknowledge them and honor them in that skill. It takes work and it takes effort and it takes, you know, definitely a trial and error and being, you know, open to criticism and on and on and on. So those that are skilled in an area, we want to acknowledge and honor and emulate in that area. But that doesn't translate to every area in their lives. So often we think that, and this is our expectations too, we get the leaders we deserve. And the whole concept that we've put people in that leadership role rather than God. We turn to leaders, we turn to our doctrines, our teachings, before we turn to God. And this is what we get. We get confusion, and when crisis comes along, we get fear and caught up in our own emotions and being distraught and not knowing what to do. And then blaming, and we become vulnerable. And this is not God's idea for us. This is not his desire. We are overcomers. There are no Christian victims. Now, Christians are victimized, but that intent never touches a Christian, a dependent Christian. Because everything that you and I are going through, when we recognize that it's from Him, for us, we see every day and every situation as an opportunity to know Him. So maybe you realized, okay, I need to know Him. There are things we can do to speed up the process. And this is why we're spending some time on the night visits. If you want to speed up the process of your senses being tuned, get up with God in the middle of the night. Let's put it this way. There are two things that speed up the process of being able to hear Him clearly. And they're very, very closely related, even though they may not seem like it. And if you can't do one, do the other. If you can do both, great. And that is, the first one is getting up during the night to sit and be with God and just be available to Him. The second is fasting. And that's fasting from food, from TV, from church, from scriptures, from whatever He says, I want you to fast from. Because basically getting up at night is fasting from sleep. Okay? And when we say fast, all we're going to mean by that is to to take a break from it. All that really does is it rocks your boat. It exerts your spiritual authority over your soul and your body in an unusual way. It's a tangible way that we can cooperate with God just to sort of slap ourselves across the face, snap out of it. But by doing that, and then taking that time and being available to God, that expresses our commitment and His commitment. But more than anything, it just interrupts our selfish, our fleshly control in our lives. Now, we ask God, is this something I can do? And then ask Him for the parameters. And we'll be going through exactly how to do that and what it looks like. But for now, recognize the importance of responding to Him, and that there are things that you can do. Like so many people, once they realize that they really aren't hearing from God, and that they could be, and that that's His desire. Okay, now think about that. God wants you to know Him now, so that the transition from this life to the next is purely physical. In other words, your body dies. What really do we think happens? We've been told that, you know, you go through the tunnel towards the light, and there you see Jesus. But is that what Jesus says? When we say, I asked Jesus into my heart and He came, well then, He's there, isn't He? Did He go away again? Do we have to ask Him on a regular basis to come back into our hearts over and over and over again? Because He can't be, you know, our next time to see Him and talk to Him can't be after we die, if He's in us. This is another belief we need to look at and see how that misbelief is affecting our entire life. Instead, we can, if God is God, and if He's not, we need to know that too, but if He's real, and if He's omniscient and omnipotent, and we have been born spirit after the spirit, and we are now sons of God, joint heirs and co-inheritors, all the things that Jesus said we are. And if His desire is that we be one, as He and the Father are one, none of those, He didn't qualify any of those for after we die. In other words, it's not related to whether we're in the body or out of the body. These are all attachments or aspects of eternal life. So we don't settle for believing in God. Know that God wants you to know Him. And He wants to be known. and that it's worth it, and that he's drawing you. Any desire you have to know him is from him. And that desire in and of itself is his guarantee. His promise, his guarantee that if you respond, that desire will be fulfilled by him. Not by a new teaching, not by a new ministry or a new calling or, you know, whatever, but by him. Because ministry and gifts and callings and relationships, none of that will ever satisfy that desire. And our desire for him should grow more intense after we become a Christian, not less. So many of us realize that, okay, I feel like I'm behind the times, and I'll never be able to catch up. Well, remember, God's not concerned at all about time, okay? And he created it. Time is an earthly element. So you have authority over it. So you can redeem the time. And you start by deciding what to do with the time you've been given. You're not a victim of time. You're the master of it. You can stretch it. You can make the most of it. And yes, you can also waste it. Now, how to avoid wasting it? It's not okay filling every minute, making sure you're doing the right thing at every minute, but asking God, God, am I giving attention, my time and attention, to the things you want me to? And this is where, when we recognize the importance of the Lord visiting us at night and getting our attention at night, that when we start to respond to that and get up at night, whether he wakes us up or whether we set our alarm clock and say, Lord, I'd like to get up and just spend 10, 15 minutes with you. Or he might say, I want you to spend an hour at 2 o'clock. I won't be able to do that. I won't be able to function during the day. Well, you might have to go to bed a lot earlier. What's important to you? Now, a lot of times, we don't even want to hear things like this, because then we don't want to ask God. Because then, if he does say, I do want you to get up, then we have, and we decide not to, which you're free to do that. But then we go, okay, God told me, or I really think God wanted me to do this, and I'm not doing that. Maybe this is why this is happening. A little doubt creeps in. And we don't want it to. One of the things we're learning is that brushing God aside increases our dissatisfaction and our vulnerability to our enemies. So when we talk about getting up on our own, we're talking about speeding up the development of our solical senses and experiencing greater dependence and intimacy on the Lord. So this week, ask the Lord if this is something he wants you to do. And go through the process of scheduling a time. And I want to tell you something. If you start to do this, God will respond. So be prepared for that. He will start to make, he's going to tune your senses. And as he does that, you will sense things you have not sensed before. You will be aware of things. There will be a change. it may not be right away, and odds are nothing will happen during that time that you're sitting up with him. But there will be a change. He will make himself known. He will tune your senses. So we'll pick it up there next Thursday. Until then, just really ask the Lord if this is something he wants you to do. We've been asking him, Lord, if you want to come visit me, I'd love to talk with you. But now, Lord, if you want me to come up, if you want me to get up with you, I'm willing to do that. What time would be good? And we'll pick it up there Thursday. But for now, at least ask. Now, if he's clear and he says, yes, I want you to get up at such and such a time, make the effort. Plan ahead. Set that appointment. Set your alarm clock. And then just be there. Be available. You don't worry about listening for anything or hearing anything or experiencing anything. And one of the things this will start to reveal is how much work we need to do on stilling our mind, stilling our emotions, stilling our thoughts. So we'll pick it up there Thursday. Saturday we'll be getting back together again at 9 o'clock. So I'll see you then. Have a great rest of the week. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.